21-20, Ohio State the lead. Marshall motions into the backfield. Hand off Elliott on a left angle, runs into the 10. Wide to the 5 and to the goal line and into the end zone. Touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott of Ohio State. 9-yard run by the sophomore from St. Louis, Ezekiel Elliott. 27-20, Ohio State.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And if you're looking for insider news, videos, and photos on the Cleveland Browns straight from Berea, get the latest on player transactions, combine, draft, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com, your most trusted source for Browns news. That's ClevelandBrowns.com. 216-578-0850, the way to get on board with us here on CBD. And it'll be interesting if the Browns do decide to part ways with Jordan Cameron. Hopefully he will be back, but if he's not, you guys got guys like Charles Clay, Jermaine Gresham, some of the options out there as free agents. Plus you've got some of the guys in the draft we talked about like Max Williams. But I believe the tight end is becoming a more important position in the NFL, but at the same time, you just need to have playmakers that defenses have to scheme against. It doesn't really necessarily matter where they are.
You're absolutely right. You just made two great points, and one leads me into another, is you need players, and they're becoming more prevalent in the NFL. That is 100% true. And the reason is because they're a matchup problem. You know, if you watch the New England Patriots playoff game this past weekend, you know, the commentators just talked about his size and matching up with him, and him, you know, stretching the field, stretching the middle of the field. Being overmatching linebackers with his speed and then overmatching safeties and corners with his size. So, and I just think there's so many names. There's a laundry list. You look at the emergence of Greg Olsen, who's played, you know, good football, both in Chicago and Carolina, but finally finding his way, being honored with his first Pro Bowl opportunity this year, going over 1,000 yards, you know, leading the charge there in the NFC at tight end. You got, you know, Jimmy Graham and Antonio Gates still doing it out in San Diego.
Yes, he is.
So it's and like I said, it's a matchup problem, and I hate it. And what made me a better linebacker was playing Antonio Gates and learning his tricks of the trade and his body control. It actually helped me take my game from practice and playing against him and do better against guys like Tony Gonzalez, who we got to play, you know, multiple times a year from the Kansas City Chiefs in his time and then later in his career in Atlanta as well.
As a linebacker, when you face a team that didn't have, let's say you're facing a team that has, you know, guys who are primary blockers, how does that change what you are able to do defensively versus when you have to deal with a tight end who can really run and you got to cover?
The one thing that in my time in San Diego and in Green Bay as well, and actually, you know what, throughout my entire career, because I was a part of the same scheme throughout my entire career, every defensive coordinator or defensive coach that we played for, when we'd play a Gates-like Antonio, you know, Tony Gonzalez or Jimmy Graham, the one thing that was beat into our heads that week of practice, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, was every single play get a hit on the tight end. So if it was Sean Merriman or Sean Phillips as an outside linebacker, before they could even rush, it was chip him, throw an arm at him. Not so much, don't even necessarily commit your shoulder pad to him so that you completely deviate your rush, but get a hand on him. It was no free release. And a lot of that has to come with because the rapport that was built with the quarterback and the tight end, as productive as they were. But then we wanted to do anything we could to make it difficult on him to get away from the timing of those routes, that those choice routes that tight ends a lot of them like to run. And more so than anything, some of these guys are just running reads. That's how good some of these quarterbacks are and these tight ends are really getting. It's okay at the snap, I believe it's cover three, but you know, after the snap it ends up being like a deviated version of cover four. And they're different, where one's more of a matchup and one's more of a true zone, and the tight end just has the flexibility and freedom to run whatever route they see fit. It might not necessarily be what's called in the huddle. And that is something that I don't think we've ever had with Jordan Cameron. It was more of a rigid, you run this route or we're going to script it to get you open. And that's something that I hoped he'd grow into this year. But I hope it's something that we can develop, because a quarterback and a very, very solid tight end become great friends relying on each other, very similar to the way an offensive line and a running back develop that rapport as well.
No question about it, and that is kind of the new wave of the NFL. there have been those good tight ends. And you see in Indianapolis, they use two of them, Kobe Fleener and Dwayne Allen, very effectively. New England's got Gronk, who they use. Right now in Green Bay, they've been getting better play from Corliss and Rodgers. Yeah. That's helped there. And Luke Wilson has come on as a playmaker for the Seattle Seahawks. So the tight end is an important piece of the modern offense. Now, before we get to after further review here at the bottom of this hour, Matt, I wanted to ask you about this.
Yes.
Take us back. What were those kids going through now once you win the national title? What was that night like for you? What does the team have set up? Is there an organized party for everybody afterwards? How does that all go down?
Well, Matt Fontana, producer of the really big show at WKNR, actually reported that the Buckeyes got on the plane after the game and flew back. So there was no celebration, but they were pleasantly greeted at like 4 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning with Ohio State fans, you know, on their bus ride in from Port Columbus to the Woody Hayes facility. Mine, of course, when we won in 2002, it was very boring. And the reason why is because in Arizona, all the bars and the clubs and anything fun closes at 1 p.m. And you got to figure, for us, we're still kicking off at 2 hours removed from the East Coast, so 6:30. You know, the game goes till 9:30, 10 o'clock. We go into two overtimes, you know, which stretches the game out even longer. And then by the time the celebration is over, you actually get back to your locker room, you get changed, you get showered, you wait on everybody, and the buses head back to the beautiful Fairmont Princess Resort. It's everything's closed. You might have, you know, your family member went out and grabbed a case of beer. And after, for me, playing 6 quarters, essentially, and playing, you know, 90 snaps, I was exhausted. It's like I was halfway through a celebratory beer with my family, and I'm cashed out, like, fully clothed in my bed. So that was my celebration.
So is it – in the NFL, though, you guys, there are parties set up after,
yes,
win or lose, but it's obviously better if you win.
Yes. It was win or win in my case.
Right.
But, yes, when we won, the great thing about, you know, being a part of the Super Bowl championship with Green Bay is it was actually played at AT&T Stadium down there in Jerry World. And we did have a party set up. The buses bring you back. It's packed out with family and friends. And I think a limited number of, like, corporate tickets were given out to supporters of the Green Bay Packers organization as well. We actually had Kid Rock. They had booked Kid Rock to be the headliner. The hotel did an amazing job, you know, setting up their conventions room, set up for us. It was like a mini club. It was like, you know, maybe like a club or a really, you know, funky, fun young wedding was going on, set up in the convention room with a stage. But it was just DJ, stage, Kid Rock, amazing food, just lots of smiles, lots of hugs, lots of drinking, you know, a celebration, you know, something that, you know, I do remember like it was yesterday. I've got great video and great pictures on my phone and my iPad.
I saw some of those.
Yes, you did. It was great. You know, ice sculptures of the trophy. And that's the one other thing that's really, really cool. Not so much about the crystal ball, but definitely about the Lombardi trophy. And I don't know if every organization is like this after they win a Super Bowl, but like the Lombardi trophy was kind of just hanging out, getting passed around. You would have thought you'd have to wear it with gloves and you don't want to get fingerprints on it. And, you know, someone would have it in a case like a Stanley Cup, per se.
Was it heavy?
No,
it's not. Right?
You know, I don't know, 4 or 5 pounds, like, you know, okay, like a 5 pound dumbbell. But it was just getting passed around, everybody taking pictures. Even once we got back to Green Bay and Lambeau, you know, the trophies just kind of, and I showed you that picture, it was just sitting there. And I'm like, well, what? I'm going to take a picture with it. I'm going to put it in my locker. I'm going to rock it like a baby, like we saw Joey Bosa do last night. So, again, you're like a little kid in a candy store when you win a championship, and it's all about you and your teammates and those coaches who accomplish that goal.
All right, when we come back here, we're going to play a little after further review. It's always nice talking with a champion like Matt Wilhelm. He's seen the ropes. By the way, a couple people have said that Matt Fontana has corrected his report. The Buckeyes are still in Texas, so maybe they did have some more fun.
Well, Fontana, get it right, bro.
He said he has corrected himself, so that's good. All right, good. All right, when we come back, play a little after further review, bringing our producer Jason Gibbs here on ESPN 850 WKNR.